And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Jeremiah and chapter 17. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence. And for your grace we need, a God that will provide for us all that you are and all that you've made possible for us to be able to live in the light and enjoy and experience your life. And our God, we thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study, as we may, introducing it at the moment to Jeremiah chapter 17, and you will note verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed, on the other hand, is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the hearts. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So, God has to go and do a wonderful thing for us. And God provides a kind of, on the one hand, a wonderful fruitfulness, a wonderful life in the light. On the other hand, we stay in the dark and in a state of lifelessness, death. We don't enjoy the relationship. So, God made possible by his death on the cross that life and that relationship. So therefore, over if we may to 1 John. And in our exercise and study a little bit of the book of 1 John, which is what God gave 1 John to help us understand, to exercise and experience the light and the life that God has provided for us, a unique relationship. And that life and relationship is to be exercised and enjoyed here and now, even until there and then. So, and in 1 John we share together to keep in mind that God wants us to be able to look at 1 John 1:7 just to remind yourself and myself. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, we want to walk in the light as he is in the light. We have love, and as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is cleansing us, present tense, from all sin. So God, here we are, that same old nature. We have it. We never can leave it till we die. But God, you have given us a wonderful way to live with it without it dominating in our life. And therefore, you tell us not to sit down and try to beat it to death or try to have something special to get rid of it or to change it or fix it. We aren't trying to fix our old nature. God, you want us to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. You want, you crucified it. Plain old dead. Dead, buried. So we don't have to play with it. So we don't have to keep thinking about it, worrying about it, fretting about it. We don't have to do that. No, we're just going to enjoy what? You have set us free from that sin nature in order to enjoy the relationship that you have made possible by your death, burial, and resurrection. So, and therefore, as we read in 1 John, and the like in all of those things, chapter 2 and verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So if we're going to walk in the light, verse 7, chapter 1, and we're going to walk in the light, we're going to have what? We're going to have God is have that which what God has made possible. As our Lord walked on planet Earth for 3 1/3 years publicly, so we're to go and follow him. We're to be able to do and live the life that he had. How so? Because he would die to make it possible. Over to chapter 2, verse 13. Forget that. Don't do it that way. Back over to chapter 1 and verse 3. All of that walking in the light, all of that experience and relationship is to be understood in a simple word. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Purpose, that ye also may have fellowship, communion, participation. You may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. These things have I write we unto you. What for? That your joy may be full, that you'll be able to enjoy a unique relationship to God in a unique, wonderful, wonderful way. And so God has made all of that possible to be an abiding branch. Like John 15, 5, like we shared together. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. So, God, you have made it possible in and because of our Lord Jesus Christ to have a unique relationship to you so that we can enjoy the fullness of your awesome person, that we can enjoy that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we can enjoy that relationship in a most wonderful way, in a very awesome way. So therefore, over if we can, picking up, please, chapter 3 of 1 John. And we share together, we should have full assurance of faith, what God is trying to drive home, you're resting in the saving work of God. You're resting in God's sovereign, saving work, so that you aren't trying to bring your thoughts, your reasons, your analysis. You don't have to do it. Just thank God and believe. That's all. And believing, you'll have sight. When you have sight, you'll have understanding. If you don't have sight, you won't have understanding. You need to understand. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so we're supposed to be knowing that we have passed from death unto life, verse 14. And sliding downward, and we perceive that by in our experience that we have a relationship to God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And that relationship to God is found in the person of Christ. When you received Christ as your Savior, God did a wonderful thing and saved you. The God who saves you saves me. Same God. Right now, God in me sees you and God in you sees me, loves, a relationship, a common tying together, special, not because of anything of us. It's all about God's saving grace to bring together all of us into the wonder, by way of the Lord Jesus Christ, into his wonderful person, to enjoy him in an awesome way, in a oneness. It's because we've received him as our Savior. That's why he saved us. I didn't do it. You don't do it. We didn't manage it. We didn't maneuver it. We didn't design it. We didn't do anything. God did it because he created us. And if there's any question, you didn't create yourself. There's no way you created yourself. You received you and your body in God's grace, totally by God, in God. And that's why we get saved, totally by God. Your physical birth, your spiritual birth. You didn't do it. All you did is allow it to happen, especially spiritually. Now, so when God has done that in his most wonderful way, we're to be able to know, verse 18, these children let us not love in word and deed, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We don't want to talk it. We want to walk it. We want to believe it. It should be real. We don't want to just talk about believing in Christ and died. He loves us. That's just talk. I want to be loved. I want to be in the place to let God's love find a home in our heart, and that God is love. What do you mean? God is seeking to have him, to have a relationship to himself. God is love. He brings us into a relationship to self, into himself, because he loves us. What is the love doing? It's bringing us into God's wonderful self. It is God bringing us into his heart. God taking us and bringing us into his heart, into his person, to enjoy him in a unique and wonderful way. And we share together over and over. We need to be enjoying, underline, being loved. God wants us to know him, to honor him, and to show him. Now, so in the process, and we share together in verse 19, hereby we know that we are in the truth of the truth and should assure our hearts before him. So we're going to know. What are we going to know? Well, why do we know that? Because God is doing it. I didn't do it. You didn't do it. God does it. And so we're looking to God with thanksgiving. So as we trust God with all our heart, so therefore we're going to have assurance, ensure assurance in our heart, assure our hearts before him. And verse 20, for, and it may or may not be true, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. So if our heart condemns us and we feel guilty, we feel bad, we lose our fellowship, we're just out of sync, we just aren't on the same page, and we know that. And know that even when we're in out of fellowship, when we're off base, when we're missing the whole thing, when we're failing, falling, coming short, all that happening in our life, God saved us by his own saving grace. And so we're not going to be up and down. I'm off and on. I'm with it. I'm not with it. I'm saved. I'm not saved. I don't know whether I'm saved. I thought I was saved. No. You're trusting God's saving work, not your work and not your plan, not our plan, nothing. All of God's wonderful, wonderful saving grace. And therefore, verse 20, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. And so therefore, in verse 20. And the assurance in verse 20 tells us the truth, assure ourselves of the truth. The truth. When we're all done, it isn't, we're just going to read to God's word. God is God. He says what he means. He means what he says. And God said it. And therefore our heart is settled. I didn't tell God, I don't tell God, you don't tell God how to think, what to feel, what to do. You don't. And we're in his presence. Awesomely in his presence. Awesomely. We're going to do that. See it. You wanted to see it. Because actually, anyway, we're in his presence. Hey, hang on. Now, so therefore, verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us, not, then have we confidence toward God. In other words, we're going to look to God. We have confidence. And if in third class, you may or may not, we have boldness, confidence, free, frank boldness. That's we have confidence. So if my heart is, I'm going to trust God. I'm walking in the light as he is in the light. 1 John 1:7, I'm trusting God. And thanking God as I go down, eat my food, go to work, go to school, do what I never take my pills. I do whatever I do. I do all of that with thanksgiving, and I'm comfortable walking in the light because John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ is what? Cleansing us from all sin. So I don't have to think about the sin that's my old nature. Jesus Christ is covering it. So I don't go around, I don't even have to think about it. I thank God for it. But if it gets in the way, then I have to look to God to handle it. Now, in the process, going comfortably, if we can, like 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God, I tell you, I did a stupid thing, said a stupid thing, did it a stupid way, and all the other things. And God, God, I did it. I'm done. It belongs on the cross. That's my old nature. That's why you died, to set me free from all this that comes in my head and heart, to worry, to want, to wander. Now, having said that, verse 22. And if we're comfortable looking to God, walking in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sin. So therefore, in chapter 3 and in verse 22, as we get on the corridor of time. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So we're going to be asking and receiving. So that's what we want to look at to see that how that works in a most wonderful way. And you remember the places where God said, if you see the tree, if you see a problem, if you see a mountain that's in the way, pray and ask in my will, and I'll remove it. I'll remove the tree. I'll remove the mountain. Whatever you ask, in my name. That's an awesome. Joshua could say, "Sun, stand still." And it did. That's very rare. Very rare that God honored such a thing. Now, so God, but how does it work for us? How is it supposed to work for us? If we ask, whatsoever we ask, and the word ask is the desire, the word ask / the desire of the will. Asking is the desire of the heart of my will, what I want. I'm asking my will, I desire it. That's what I want. Now, is that just a big old anything, anywhere, anyhow? No, I could ask anything. And then you talk to people, and we're going to pray for this, and I'm going to ask that, I'm going to ask this, I'm going to ask that, and we do it. People ask all kinds of things of God. Now, God, when we do that, God, because that's understandable, us humans take something and take it wherever wherever we want to go with it. So what are we doing, God? You're asking. Telling us to ask. To ask and to make sure we, as we travel along down the road here and looking, I did a little thing. You read in Jeremiah 17, you'll be like a tree planted by rivers of living water. If you read Psalm number 1, the first psalm, what does it say? It's the psalm that leads you into all the rest of them. And to me, the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, that is looking to God and living, looking for God to outwork his wonderful life, the God outworking that life will be like a tree planted by living waters, never having a problem. In a world that's dried up and dangerous and dark and dreary, but you'll be like a tree. Now, so asking and receiving, you have to be saying, well, I'll ask whatever. No, you don't ask whatever. Ask in my name. We're going to do it, but just to help you. Now, and remember we shared John 15, 5. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and I'll do it. Without me, you can do nothing. So we got that part. Ask, but without me, nothing's going to happen. So, and then we shared together the branch, the vine, and we looked at the trees, and the tree has a branches, and the branch is just a branch. Put it in the ground, just a piece of wood. But when the branch is attached properly to the tree, it enjoys the life of the tree. How does it enjoy the life of the tree? The life of the tree, the sap flows in the branch, and the leaves and the fruit are there. As the leaves fall off, the winter comes, and the branch just abides. Storm, wind, anything. It just abides and lives. It lives off the life of the tree, and all it has to do is abide. Without the tree, you can do nothing. Without the tree, you can do nothing. And all it has to do is abide. Now, so when we come to know the Lord as our Savior in a most wonderful, wonderful way, what does God do to help us? So here we are. Here's a little branch. Now, when this branch is properly attached to where it belongs, it has a relationship to the tree, and it receives from the tree all of the life of the tree, the bush. It receives the life. No other life. There's a different bush. This bush is not this bush. So, this bush doesn't say, ask. This bush doesn't ask to be like this bush. And this bush doesn't ask to be like this bush, because each bush is connected so that as it's connected, it's going to enjoy the relationship to God in Christ based on his word and work on Calvary's cross. And that kind of relationship, that kind of life. So that kind of, this branch is looking, spring, fall, winter, summer. This branch is looking to stay attached. And staying attached, it's able to go and what? Enjoy a consistent, persistent flow of life. And therefore, it asks and looks for more leaves. Leaves are dropping off. And the branch is saying, all my leaves are going. And the branch in the tree says to it, relax, we have to go through this. We do this every year. And by the way, spring's coming and you're going to have more leaves. So the branch relaxes and rests and isn't worried at all, and the branch just sits there and enjoys. And when it comes, weather changes, and the branch receives, the branch is asking, it's time for leaves, it's time for fruit. And so the branch is asking in order to what? To stay in fellowship, to receive. Not from something else. It isn't asking any old thing, any old way you please. That's stupid to do that. And you know it doesn't work. What are you doing? You're looking for your relationship to outwork itself, aren't you? It isn't trying to work your old nature. You aren't trying to do that. No, you're trying to work out that relationship, walking in the light as he is in the light. And as you walk in the light, you're asking to what? For God to keep on receiving. Now, with that in mind, let's see it. Over if we can, and you know it. Over if I can in 1 John. Over in 1 John chapter 5. And you'll know. When we come to 1 John chapter 5, we have the scriptures so that we know that we're saved. So when we come to verse 14, and this is the confidence, the boldness that we have. Remember, that's the same word back over in chapter 3. The boldness that we have in him, in Christ. What kind of boldness, free confidence is it? That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You can ask according to his will. You want God's will for your life? You're the branch abiding? That's what you want. What else do you want? You want to abide? You want the life that God has for you? Ephesians 2:20, to outlive that life. And therefore, according to verse 14, to the will he heareth us. And verse 15, if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We don't have to have it in our hand. You want God's will? The branch wants to stay in the, here comes the fall, the leaves fall off, the leaves all fall off, but be of good cheer. Good cheer, it's just no problem. The tree says to the branch, just relax. You have to go through the cycle. It's the way it is, and the leaves will come back, and it just abides. And as it abides, it enjoys the life. Where's the life coming from? From the tree, that's all. It's asking to receive the life from the tree. It's asking to receive that life. Hang on to that. Now, and therefore we have the petitions that we desired of him. Or if we would, over to the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, as you read, verse 14. Chapter 14, I should say, and in verse 12. 14:12. Verily, verily, assuredly, assuredly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. How can that be? Because I go unto my Father, and my working in the perfect life of the Lord Jesus for 3 1/3 years publicly is now going to show itself in a human heart saved by grace. And therefore, verse 13, and whatsoever ye who have been saved and received Christ as your Savior, and walking in the light as he is in the light, and whatsoever you shall ask, there's your word, ask in my name, not just ask, in my name. Without me, you can do nothing. You have to ask in my name. I'm not another branch. You're this branch. You're not this. You're a believer. You're resting in Christ. That's what you're looking for. God's life, fellowship, to outwork that life in an awesome way. So, in the process, in verse 13, that will I do. Why? That the Father may be glorified. Where? In the Son. You have a relationship. When you came to know the Lord as your Savior, God, Roman, hang on to this. Go over with me, please, to the Gospel of John, and in chapter 1. Remember what you read in 1 John 3 and 22. Ask that you may receive. Receivers. Receiving. Not receiving. Over if I can. Yet you know all this. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children, sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. So when we receive the Lord as our Savior, that's what we did. We were receiving. And when we receive the Lord as our Savior, what did that in my name? What did when we receive Christ, what did that bring to us? Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Our Lord Jesus Christ brings to us the grace of God, the truth of God. So when I received Christ and became a child of God, verse 16, 14, 15, 16. Chapter 1, verse 16. And of his fullness have all we received. There's your little verb again. Receive. Ask that you may receive. So we're asking, where are we going to receive? Verse 16. And what are you going to receive? You're not going to receive. You're going to receive grace. You're asking for God to do, to be for you. Grace is what he gives you. God is going to give you himself and all that he has in mind for your life, the outworking of God's wonderful will for your personal life in a very public way to outwork that will. Now, God, what are we doing? So, God, we're going to go and you're going to be gracious and gracious. Grace upon grace, like we shared, like the waves in the ocean. The waves just come one after another, day and night, year by year, they never stop. That's this little phrase in verse 16, grace in place of grace. The grace at 10 o'clock today, the grace at 11 o'clock, the grace at 12 o'clock, the grace tonight, grace, the grace that you had this morning is replaced with more grace. The God who watched over and helped us this morning is helping us now. And we're going to go out the door, Lord willing, if he tarries. And God's in more grace. And more grace. And more grace. What do you mean? God's going to continue being who he is in your life. You're going to be abiding. And he's going to continue. And you're going to be a receiver. As you abide, you're going to be a receiver because you're asking, desiring with the heart to be full of leaves and full of fruit. That's what you're looking for God to outwork the fellowship, the communion that you have, to outwork the enjoyment of being in the presence of God. For real, God, here we are. And God, you're awesome. And we have to what? Line up with you. Now, hang on. So, you receive grace upon grace upon grace. Back over, if I can, John chapter 14. I'll go to John chapter 15, the light of everything. John chapter 15. And remember, asking, receiving. Real simple and not confusing. Well, let's have your prayer request. You see, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just trying to get you, if it isn't connected to the tree. You're a branch, I'm a branch. And all us branches, here we are, all us branches are receiving the same life from the same God in the same way by His grace. So whatever the branch up above me gets, I'm going to get the same thing, only in the way my life is, my life, my diet and everything else that I do. And God, but I'm going to get the same fellowship, the same relationship. That's what's going to happen. And then what? Then you'll get, you ask what you will, and I will do it. Not I hope you'll do it, you will do it. I'm not even a question. I didn't ask for some dumb thing for myself. I asked for God's will, in God's way, in God's time, to make it all come out right. That's all I did. And God's going to do it in His most wonderful way. And if you don't do that, then you're stuck with yourself. You're stuck with the system. You're stuck in the world, and you can't get anywhere because it goes like this in the cage, just around and around. So now, chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Well, let's ask and receive. That's right. Verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth, bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask in my Father's name, He may give it you. You're asking it for God's will. Our Lord gives the perfect example. If you want to know, He tells you how to do that. Jesus asked the Father, Father, if it be your will, I don't want to have to go to the cross, but it is your will, and so be it. I'm going to receive your will, the will of the Father, to save us all. Now, and therefore, sliding over to chapter 16. And chapter 16. And in verse 23. We did all this. In that 16:23, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Why? Because in Christ Jesus, you're coming to the Father. I brought you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I brought you to God the Father. He's your Father. I want you to enjoy the fullness of the relationship. So you're a son in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to enjoy the Father. The Father's will. The Lord Jesus, Luke chapter 2, the Lord Jesus at 12 years old said, I must be about my Father's business. And we did all the business, the battles, the bother. You got to be in it. That's right. God's doing what He's doing in your life, home, work, school, whatever it is, and in the world system, all of it at once. Now, so therefore, verse 23, chapter 16, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever shall ask the Father in my name. That's pretty easy. The Father in my name. What do you want? You can't ask it better than that. It's what He asked. You're asking it in Christ's name, not in your name, because you're abiding in the branch. You're just asking it in Christ's name because you're saved. God loves you. He died for you. You're a believer. You belong in the body of Christ. That's why you're in God's name. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here. Now, if I can, verse 23 again. Whatsoever shall ask, whatsoever shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto, verse 24, have you asked nothing in my name? You didn't ask anything. You looked to me and I took care of you. And ye shall receive that your joy may be full. Remember what you read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. You're to have fellowship that your joy might be full. You might enjoy just the branch, no matter what the season, no matter what the weather, no matter what, it just abides. John 17, Psalm number 1, abide. If you'll be, you said it, God, anyone listening, you're going to be like a tree in a dry land, but you're never going to be dry. You're going to have always fruit, always leaves. You don't have to worry about the drought. You don't have to worry about the famine. You're just going to, that's what Abraham goofed, didn't he? There was a famine, he worried, and he didn't have to worry. And he went in the wrong place in the wrong way and got in trouble. He didn't have to worry. Why didn't he trust God? You see. Now, having said that, little bit if I may. So, as we read in 1 John, ask and ye shall receive. God doing, practicing those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's over to 1 John. I hope you got a little bit. I'm just trying to make it simple so you don't sit and follow dumb. The Bible isn't practical to you, and you can pray, we're going to do all these things. It never works. All we do is talk a lot and pray a lot and move a lot, but we don't get anything. Make it work. Make it work. Otherwise, that's why prayer meeting is missing across the country. Closed down. Why? I don't blame them. People, I used to, you know, years ago, three or four of us sit together and we all go to prayer meeting and they have a little prayer request sheet and you hand out the prayer request sheet and there's 300 names in it. You add 200, 400 names and they're going to pray for them. And then you ask, well, how is that lady doing, you see? How is that lady doing? Well, we don't know. How's that person doing? Well, we don't know, see? And then we forget that and go to the next thing. Nothing ever happens. I don't know. And that's my prayer meeting. I watched it all these years. Watched it. Go down. I've been in there. Not here, but been in there in the national type of things where there's three or four people on a prayer meeting night and they had the little prayer sheet. I said, no wonder no one's here. There's nothing here. There's nothing here. You want something? I don't need to be religious. Forget being religious and forget trying to, I don't care what your thoughts are or my thoughts are. It's what God thinks and line up with it and God will bless it. God thinks now. So in closing, if I may, in verse, we can't even do that. 1 John, jump over if we would. Romans chapter 12. And in Romans in chapter 12, picking up answer, simple, wonderful answer, God. I do those things that are pleasing in your sight. We're supposed to be advertising God's grace, not the world system. See, I don't have to wear, no problem. We aren't trying to advertise the world. We aren't trying to advertise human solutions and humans whatever. No. God hates that. I need to hate that. I need to honor my relationship to God. I know the other. I already have my old nature. I need to honor my relationship to God. The only way I can do that, like in 1 John chapter 3, lay down your life for the brethren. Chapter 12, verse 1, as you know, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, well-pleasing, under God, which is your reasonable service. Make sure you're showing your abiding branch to the tree, not, verse 2, and not conformed to this world system, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think right to come out right. Think right that purpose you may prove, put to the proof, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, the will of God that pleases him. That's what you want in your life. And you want to, it isn't because you've got a good IQ or something else. It's because you're letting God be God, whose ways and thoughts are higher than the heavens. And you're letting God be God. And that's going to be now and forever. You'll always be letting, only you'll do it more perfectly, letting God be God. Thank you. Our Father in God, thank you very much as we try to understand a little better God, simple, wonderful, easy. God, you couldn't have said it in your name to ask the Father, that the Father may be glorified as you all work your wonderful life in our life, your life. So God, help us and deal with our heads and our hearts. And those who know you not as their Lord and Savior, God, help us and deal with us. Just thanks. Spirit of God, thanks a lot. In Christ's name, amen.